You're listening to
Hello, welcome to Sci-Fi Dig. I'm your co-host, Rhiannon Makeham.
And I'm your other co-host, Aaron Makeham.
We are back with the segment, My Dad's a Geek. This time we watched The Terminator.
Terminator was a 1984 film starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, kind of made him. And it was one of those films that really helped to make me fall in love with science fiction. It was just so cool. We also had Michael Biehn and Linda Hamilton. Also, you know, Lance Henriksen makes an appearance. I mean, he doesn't have a big part, but he's in there. And, you know, one of the things about the film that the first noticeable thing, obviously, was the lack of dialogue throughout the film and the music. But as I continue my daughter's education on all things science fiction and the great, what I think are the groundbreaking films out there, I thought that this would be a good choice. You know, we watched Star Wars last time, and this time it is The Terminator. So, anyway, Rhiannon, what did you think?
I liked the movie. It was a good movie.
And you understood the story?
Yeah.
That the whole time, like, paradox kind of thing going on there,
mm-hmm.
You know, where they send him back to save her, and in the process, he ends up being John Connor's father.
But I knew it the whole time. Like, how could you not know it? You just saw it coming.
Yeah, okay. Sure you did. Sure you did.
Seriously, though.
Okay. So, you know, I know that it's an older film from 84, and so what did you think about the technology? I mean, what did you find dated? Was there anything that threw you that you were like, okay, well, I can really tell this is an older movie?
Well, obviously everybody's style. And, like, the girl, her bangs. Yeah, you just knew it was an older movie. Nobody does that anymore. But there really wasn't that much that you could tell, like, the effects were still really cool. When the guy was, like, cutting out his eye. That was disgusting.
Yeah, that they did a good job with that. And you could tell, you know, now that I go back and watch that and you see the scene where he cuts it out and turns back to the mirror, you can tell that it's a fake head that they're doing that with. You know, it just doesn't, I mean, it's a pretty good likeness of Schwarzenegger, but not good enough. You could tell that it wasn't quite real. How did you feel about the, you know, while we're talking about effects, the exoskeleton at the end after all the flesh had burned off? I mean, did that... I mean, it's kind of, it's a little jerky. Did that throw you, or were you just kind of in the movie and didn't really care about that?
Like, I liked that it was jerky. It kind of made it more, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, you just would kind of almost expect him to be kind of jerky.
Okay. Because
he had been, like, in the fire, and even though he was still there, you kind of expected him to be somewhat damaged from, like, the fire on the truck. And so, like, the way he jerked, it made you, like, think, okay, maybe they have a little bit more time to get away. And you can watch his step.
Okay. All right. Did you find at all the absence of cell phones in the movie? Did that throw you at all, or are you just kind of with it?
I don't really think so. I don't think that they were really that important. They didn't make that many calls.
Okay.
And
all right.
So when they did, they were somewhere, like... I think especially when she had to go use the payphone to call her friend.
Right.
Like, if that was cell phones, it wouldn't have been as interesting.
Right, right. Okay. Because, you know, they didn't have cell phones really for the most part. So, yeah, because when I go back and I watch older films that don't have cell phones, it doesn't throw me because, you know, I was around at a time when there wasn't cell phones. But really, you weren't. There's been cell phones as long as you've been alive. But sometimes when you watch movies that are just like 10 or 11 years older and they have cell phones and they're really big and the technology is that kind of throws me sometimes because I'm like, okay, the technology is just so big. But if it's not there at all, it doesn't really bother me.
I like some older movies and they don't usually use cell phones, so it doesn't really bother me as much.
Right. Well, and you think if they had cell phones, you know, the tracking of Sarah Connor would have been much easier, mm-hmm. because they would have been able to zero in. They would, you know, they might have that information, they might not, but he could have gone to the house and found a cell phone, found her name in there and you know, somehow used that to track her, you know, so it kind of made it a little bit more interesting. But, how did you feel about the pacing of the movie? Like, you know, was there any part where you were like, okay, this is slowing down or anything, or were you just kind of like, you know, I find a Terminator, personally, I find the pacing very well done. Like, the whole time I was like, kind of, I don't want to say edge of my seat, but I'm engaged and I'm not aware of the passage of time at all.
Yeah, I definitely think that too. Like, even times when it could have been boring, like when they were just in the hotel making the bomb things, like, that could have been boring, but when you saw the Terminator on his motorcycle and stuff getting closer, like, it kept you on the edge of your seat and it kept you waiting for when he was going to come, what they were going to do.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so you thought it was pretty action-packed, you know, you were in for the ride, even though it's more of a an action movie than anything. When this first came out, when they first advertised this when I was younger, I want to say that the original television trailers were very short. They were like, you know, I want to say that they probably weren't even 30 seconds. It seemed like they were really short. Basically, Schwarzenegger was kind of an unknown, and they just had some scenes with him, and it said the Terminator, and there was no, like, explanation. I mean, it's now that it's all this time has passed, you know, we know, you know, what the deal is. You know, we know about the whole going back in time, and not that that hadn't been done before, but at the time that this movie came out, you know, as far as movies were concerned, there were nothing really mainstream that they had that storyline where, okay, I'm going to go back and kill your mother before you're born in order to stop you from stopping me, you know, sort of thing. And it's, when I was younger, it just kind of blew my mind that they did a movie like this and it just worked so well. And besides that, it had all the action in it, you know, and I, being a boy, you know, I, at the time I was like, oh, this action is really good stuff. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I enjoyed it all. But the thing is that there's a definite, for me, a real creep factor to the movie, because there's not a lot of dialogue, and that music is just that thumping music throughout there. And, you know, you're seeing everything. You know, the thing about this movie, when you think about it, is big giant chunks of it are told just visually. There's no dialogue. There's nobody to explain what exactly is going on. There's just big chunks visually. And even when we first get a lot of dialogue between Sarah and Reese, he's explaining why he's there. He's not, we're not dealing with the current story. That's all told in, you know, through the film itself, which is kind of an interesting take on things. So, you know, what else? I have some trivia here we're going to go over, but what else did you, you know, do you have any other comments? I mean, what else about the film did you like, not like?
Well, I have to say, even though you say I wasn't, I kind of was expecting Reese to be his father. But then, like, when you put too much thought into the whole coming back in time, it's really confusing. Because you think, if he died then how would he still be alive in the future when she's making these tapes for her son, talking about him?
Well, that's because he came back.
Yeah, but it's really confusing when you really think about it. But I was really sad when Reese
died.
Well,
he's conceived in the future. He grows up. He comes
back. No, not him. No. Oh. Yeah, okay. Maybe. Maybe you're right.
Well, you haven't seen Terminator 2, which is something we'll sit down and watch.
Wait, there really is Terminator 2?
Yeah, there's two Terminator movies. I don't care what anybody else says. There's only two Terminator movies. And then there was one called Terminator Salvation. That was the third film. And there was some other Terminator-type film. I think that they thought it was number three, but clearly they were high when they made it, because it's I have it, but it's But the first two movies kind of really, as far as the films are concerned and James Cameron are concerned, really tie up the story of, you know, Sarah Connor and John Connor. And when you get to the second film, you see that Sarah Connor, you know, she's her character is completely different. She's just she's all about organized and military and making sure her son knows all the things he needs to survive. You know, she has obviously spent a lot of time, you know, physically on her body, getting in shape and being ready to be you know, basically to do battle at any given moment, you know.
I think that was the cool part of the first movie. Like, you kind of knew that she was going to spend all this time training her son. And yeah, it was kind of like you wanted to see.
Yeah, when you get that in the second movie, and you have a lot of, you know, she has this pressure of having to make sure that he has the tools, the mental tools necessary. But unfortunately, in that time frame that this is happening, you know, he's not feeling the love of a mother. She's more of a trainer, more of a, you know, an educator for her son. And so mm-hmm. you kind of have that, that separation, you know, where, you know, yeah, she's his mother, but, you know, that ship has kind of sailed as far as let's talk about your feelings and you know, all that stuff. It's always about making sure that he's safe, making sure he knows what to do in a situation where, you know, somebody would come after him or whatever, so that he can survive. You know, we'll get to that film. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I just kind of want you to see the first, and then we'll be, you know, there's a couple of other things I want to show you as well. I mean, because we could very easily do the Terminator franchise and the Terminator or in the Star Wars franchise as well, and talk about all those. But you got to keep in mind that, you know, the movies that we've gone over, when they came out, there was no plans for franchises. There was no plans for sequels. It was, you know, these were going to be, they didn't know how these things were going to be received, and they were, you know, telling their story, and that was that. So we didn't have, you didn't know that there was going to be more. And there was a television series too called the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which were pretty good. You know, the first season was a little rough. Unfortunately, when things started to ramp up at season two, it ended up getting canceled, you know. But there are two seasons of it. You have a different person playing Sarah Connor, obviously, and a different person playing John Connor than in the movies. But it was quite good. I mean, there was a lot of really they've really fleshed out the storyline of Skynet and how it came to be. And there was also there's a whole line of comics as well that are pretty good as well. Anyway, as far as the comics are concerned, there's a little bit of trivia here. Now, I'm pulling a lot of this from IMDb, so I'm not sure how, you know, sometimes you worry that there's, that maybe it's not accurate. But O.J. Simpson was considered for the Terminator, but the producers feared he was too nice to be taken seriously as a cold-blooded killer. In 1990, before Simpson's first trial, Dark Horse Comics printed issues using his likeness, which is kind of interesting when you're telling the story of the Terminator and you're using, you know, somebody else. Just after the first scene in the nightclub Tech Noir, we hear a police radio report a 211 in progress at Bob's Liquor, quarter of 3rd and Cameron, and a possible reference to director James Cameron. James Cameron, I know you don't know this because you don't follow movies like I do, but he is very well known for doing some great science fiction films, Aliens among them, as well as the Terminator franchise. And he also did Avatar. We saw Avatar. Shots through the Terminator's vision, where we're seeing red, you know, you're seeing all mm-hmm. that stuff, show a dump of the ROM assembler code for the Apple II operating system. If you own an Apple II, which I guess somebody could out there, enter at the basic prompt, and it tells you what to enter, and this will give you the Terminator view. Other code visible was written in COBOL. Science fiction author Harlan Ellison sued James Cameron. That's Harlan Ellison. He's written a couple good stories and pretty much makes his living by suing people. I don't know if you knew that. You know, I know some people disagree with me, but he's always suing somebody for something. Yeah. We have to pause. We have to do some pet control. Hang on.
No.
Okay. We did that. Anyway, Harlan Ellison sued James Cameron, claiming that the film was plagiarized from the two Outer Limits episodes that Ellison wrote, namely The Outer Limits Soldiers and The Outer Limits Demons with a Glass Hand. The concept of Skynet could also have been borrowed from an Ellison short story called I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. The suit was settled out of court, and newer prints of the film acknowledge Ellison. Cameron has claimed that this settlement was forced upon him by the producers, which he has always resented. And that is true, because at the end, I bought the Blu-ray of the Terminator. I didn't have, I have Terminator on VHS. And one day I was talking with somebody, we were discussing the Terminator. I said, you know what? I don't have that film on DVD. Well, the Blu-ray was actually cheaper than the DVD, and we're talking about the newest Blu-ray. There was a Blu-ray release that I had. I didn't care. I was just getting a regular DVD release. Well, then when this other one came out, and this was just a few months ago, my friend said, "Hey, you know, get the newest one, because the other one, the transfer is not as good." So at the end of this one, right after the credits start, it says special thanks to, or special, not only says thanks, but they definitely, a special acknowledgement or something like that to Harlan Ellison. The initial draft of the movie was sold to James Cameron's wife, Gail Ann Hurd, for the price of $1. This was something I did not know. The original treatment by James Cameron included the detail that the Terminator needed to eat periodically in order for him, for his human flesh to survive. A scene is included where the Terminator eats a candy bar, wrapper and all. This detail was incorporated into the script for Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, with the Terminator selecting Arnold Schwarzenegger's favorite Australian chocolate wafer. When the fans learned that a scene had been shot with a Terminator 8 chocolate, the reaction was overwhelmingly negative, and the scene was omitted. According to an article from Hot Dog Number 10, April 2001, the studio executives threatened to shut down the project if James Cameron filmed additional future war scenes beyond the script. Series trademark. The scene we see where Reese saves Sarah at the nightclub, and he says, "Come with me if you want to live." There was, I think that they were going to change that. That was a different line. Schwarzenegger, when he says, "I'll be back," he was initially supposed to say, "I'll come back." And this is a funny one. The beginning of the production was postponed for 9 months due to Arnold Schwarzenegger's commitment to Conan the Destroyer. During this time, James Cameron wanted to be working, but didn't have the time to do a whole other film, so he took on a writing assignment. This turned out to be Aliens, which was the second Alien film. And when Sarah Connor receives a message on her answering machine breaking her date, the voice in the machine is James Cameron's. Years later, Hamilton and Cameron got married and subsequently divorced. And Linda Hamilton did the movie with a broken ankle. And so they had to wrap her leg, and all the chase scenes, they tried to move toward the end of the shooting schedule. You know, and sometimes you can see her, she seems a little wobbly. Most of the car chase scenes were shot at normal speed and sped up slightly, and other cars around them out of the frame with revolving lights attached to them made it look like the car was passing other light sources faster. The future Terminator, the one who infiltrates the human camp in the dream sequence, is played by Franco Colombo, who is a multiple Mr. Olympia title winner like Arnold Schwarzenegger and the close friends of his. And the classic clank that we hear in the film was made by Brad Fidel hitting a microphone with a cast iron skillet. And that seems to be about it of... I'm trying to see if there's anything here. There's a lot of Mel Gibson turned down the role of the Terminator. Lance Henriksen was originally considered for the role of the Terminator. And Cameron even made sketches showing the Terminator looking like Henriksen. The original concept was for the character to be able to blend into a crowd. Cameron approached Arnold Schwarzenegger and wanted him to play the role of Kyle Reese. But after their meeting, Schwarzenegger and Cameron both wanted Schwarzenegger to play the title role. So Henriksen was cast as the role of Detective Volkovich. Curiously, Henriksen later got to play the part of a humanoid cyborg when he played Bishop in Aliens, also directed by Cameron. Why am I not being able to? The sunglasses worn by the Terminator were gargoyles. Yes, we saw those on the sink. If you notice, when he put those on to cut out his eye, very clearly it said gargoyles on the side of the sunglasses. Some product placement there, I think. And the title role of Sarah Connor was originally written by James Cameron for Bridget Fonda, who passed out from the project. He later replaced her with Tatum O'Neill, and he wanted to make the character Sarah Connor older, so he suggested Kate Capshaw, but Capshaw was filming Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which we'll be watching at some point. He later suggested Kathleen Turner, but Turner was filming Romancing the Stone. That seems to be about it as far as the trivia. I mean, there's a lot of different little things here, but some of the stuff I didn't know, and I love the trivia section of IMDb. But anyway, so, you know, what we have a list of other films that, you know, we've been talking about. What do you think the next thing is that you would like to discuss, to watch?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Got to be something good. We can watch another one, you know, right now.
Well, judging by the thunder rolling in, we might have the opportunity, because I don't think we're going to be doing anything outside today.
You know, the best part of watching The Terminator with my dad was definitely just sitting there, and he'd just start, like, talking with the movie. Oh, yeah. And I just had to, like, give him dirty looks. I was like, you're ruining the movie!
I wasn't ruining the movie. I was just doing the quotes. Come on, man.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, come on.
Like, sometimes when we go see movies in the theater, he does that. Like, when we see superhero movies, then I have to act like I don't know him.
No, but sometimes I don't get this right. Terminator, I've seen a dozen times or so.
To chant with Green Lantern when he takes the oath.
I actually did the... I actually talked about the Terminator about a year and a half ago after my first surgery because it was on TV one night. I didn't have the DVD, but it was on TV, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. And of course, it's all edited because it's on regular cable, so all the swearing's edited out and everything. But the last scene with Linda Hamilton, the last, you know, scene with her and the Terminator, it's like that's a quintessential line to the movie. And when they edit it, I know that there's a curse word in it, but it kind of ruins the scene for me. The scene where he says, "I'll be back."
I'll be back.
That has become an iconic phrase in the film, and it's weird because I watch it now and I think, why was it? But the very first time I saw it, that line stuck with me. And when I was in high school, we got a bunch of friends together and we were having a birthday party, and we were like, what are we going to do for the birthday party? And I said, well, we should go rent a whole bunch of movies. Now, you keep in mind that renting movies was still kind of new. You know, I mean, the VCR had just become affordable for everybody at that point in time. You know, because before then, a VCR was like $1,200, and very few people had them. Movie rental places popped up everywhere. You know, this is before Blockbuster and all that was around. I mean, just little mom-and-pop shops. And so there was a couple of our favorite ones, and so being able to watch a movie at home was still a big deal, you know. And also, there wasn't 187,000 television channels. You know, there were still, like, only four or five, and you had some cable channels, and there was only, like, a dozen of those. So, you know, we were like, what are we going to do? And I said, well, let's rent some movies. And I said, here's some movies that I thought were pretty good. You know, let's rent these. And so we got The Terminator and Beverly Hills Cop, and I can't remember something else. And so, basically, we just had a birthday party where we all just sat around and watched films. And we watched Terminator, and all my friends, they all got hung up on that line too. I'll be back. And I have no idea why. I think now, I mean, I think mostly because it was the longest phrase that he had in the movie at that point, and he really could tell his accent from it, you know? And I think that was it, 'cause everybody liked to mimic him. I'll be back, you know, and talk like that. But, it became very, you know, very iconic. And he even has a couple of lines where he tries to, repeat that in Terminator 2 and even in the third one, and it just doesn't really work because you can tell it's forced. In this film, it was not forced. And you need to know, like in the other Terminator movies, Schwarzenegger's not the bad guy, he's the good guy, because he gets reprogrammed.
Okay.
And oddly enough, when I went to see Terminator 2, I read nothing about what was happening. I did not want to know. And your mother and I went to see it, and I'm watching it, and he came on the screen. I was like, all right. And then I found he's a good guy. I'm like, why is he the good guy? And my wife looked at me, she goes, I knew he was the good guy. How come you didn't know he was a good guy? I was like, because I didn't read anything about this film. And I was a little disappointed because I wanted him to be the bad guy. But after he became popular, he didn't want to play bad guys.
But he's a cool bad guy.
Yeah, he was really cool in this movie. Yeah.
Like,
But anyway, did you kind of grab on to the I'll be back line or no?
I think so. I think you're right about the accent. That, like, people just like it because it's a cool accent.
Yeah. And of course, my favorite line in the movie isn't that. I mean, I love "Come with me if you want to live."
Yeah, I like that line. I definitely caught on to that one when he said it, because I was, for a minute, I was like, is she gonna go with him or is she gonna try and wait out for the cops?
Right. And I also like the sign that the when he breaks down and they're watching the tape, and he gets ticked off in it during the when they're questioning him, and he's like, it's all he does. That's like my favorite line. You know, this is all he does. You know, and I love that line. You know, I love that whole segment right there. And, of course, all the stuff that I quoted, you know.
Well, let's go back to what I was saying.
You have heard enough. I have answered your question. Now I have to see Sarah Connor.
I'm afraid that's not up to me.
Why am I talking to you? Because I'm... Who is an authority here? Please. Shut up! You still don't get it, do you? He'll find her. That's what he does. That's all he does. You can't stop him!
The all he does line is my favorite line in the movie.
Yeah, definitely. One's pretty cool.
Yeah, I use that all the time. Anyway, so, you know, that's about it. Do you have anything else that you would like to add?
I don't think so.
No? Well, we can go see if there's something else in my collection that we can view. And we haven't even touched on
Star Trek.
The Indiana Jones films. Star Trek, I'm not real sure where we should start with that.
Yeah, because I was like, Dad, let's watch the first Star Trek movie. He's like, what do you mean?
You said, let's watch Star Trek. And I said, well, there's 3 seasons of original series and there's 10 films.
And then I just stopped talking to him.
Yeah, so we needed to
decide where to... And our conversation was over.
..where to jump in.
It's really hot down here.
Anyway, I think that that's all. That's all we have about the Terminator, a 1984 film that holds up well today. I think
I definitely liked it a lot.
And if you liked it and you understood the whole use of the payphones and everything like that, you know, it's that's the only thing that the technology wise. I mean, all the, cars are cars and weapons are weapons, mm-hmm. and you know, it it all really worked together. I mean, some of the post-apocalyptic war scenes look a little cheap now. But at the time, that was some groundbreaking stuff. I mean, it looked really good on screen. But and the Blu-ray transfer is fantastic for those of you thinking about. And you can pick up the Blu-ray, I think, for like $7 at Target. And I think I paid seven something. I ordered it through Amazon. It's the one that's got the different cover on it. And just had a look at the release dates. I think that the other Blu-ray is probably going to fade out because the transfer was not very good on that one. But anyway. That was The Terminator, 1984, starring Schwarzenegger.
It was really good.
Yeah. And that's all I have. So,
I'm Rhiannon.
And I'm Aaron. Over and out.